Daniel Black is the CEO and founder of Glass Media, which is a Dallas-based company. It's still sort of a startup, although it's been around for about a decade, but it figures in the startups because Inc. 5000 puts together a list of the 5,000 fastest growing private companies, and they've made the list for the third straight year. And Daniel Black joins us right now. It's good to have you with us.
Thanks so much for having me.
So when I first read about Glass Media, I looked at it, and so you do this on-site marketing. I mean, it's the little kiosk that you see in stores. The first thing I thought of was Tom Cruise and the Minority Report, where you walk in and says, "Hi, you know, Mr. Cruise, welcome back. We've got that jacket that you tried on 3 months ago." I guess that maybe that's the next step. But talk about what you do right now.
Yeah, absolutely. So, we specialize in tailor-made visual solutions or digital signage for stores. Our claim to fame, and really one of the reasons we've had such tremendous growth over the past few years, is portable battery-powered solutions. So when you think about most digital signage in retail environments, usually it's attached to a plug, which means if there's no plug, you can't have a digital asset. What we've done is, because we put a battery in these solutions, we put them on casters, right? Or make them in aluminum so they're lightweight for tabletops. Visual merchandisers in the store can now move these things around. And that's a tool or an asset they've never really had before, right? It's a luxury to be able to put something in your storefront, on your lease line, move it to your fitting room. It's the first time ever that really there's this unlocked potential to infuse digital into the company.
Yeah, I mean, for the layman, this is a big flat screen TV on rollers,
correct,
except that it looks a lot better and it weighs a lot less. And you can do a lot, and you can put anything you want to on it.
Correct, it's all controlled through the cloud via Wi-Fi or cellular. You can day part, you can regionalize and segment messaging, you can A-B test, so it really unlocks for marketing departments a lot of possibilities.
But you know, it's interesting, in a sense, I mean, this is certainly leading edge, but in a sense, it's throwback, because now everybody thinks about online media and ways to, you know, get people's attention online and to keep them. And what you're doing is going back to the stores, I mean, the people who actually like to go into stores, and you've got to have something to catch their eye.
Absolutely, and you know, some of the biggest trends we're seeing now, one of the biggest ones is retail media, right? So advertisers are now looking for additional placements aside from web and mobile, and they're finding that in-store is a great place to have, you know, people around, right? Idle wait time. And so they're looking for these digital placements, and what happens is with portable digital solutions, you have the ability to access what's called co-op or vendor participation, right? So let's say you're the container.
So somebody else is going to pay for it.
Someone else is going to pay for it. And a lot of those brands actually have dollars. And they're actually reaching out to these stores and saying, hey, can we invest in your in-store media network? And a lot of these stores are saying, we don't even have digital signage yet. And so very quickly they realize, hey, this is a way for us to offset either the entire CapEx, right? Or if we lease it, offset the OpEx.
Yeah, we're here at your headquarters where you manufacture a lot of this stuff. And it's interesting, a lot of it is, and I've seen these, you know, sort of heavy metal, you know, but you're making them more and more out of cardboard. It doesn't look like cardboard, but very lightweight. So is this to make it more cost effective?
It's a great question. So yeah, we have a proprietary material. It's a paper fiber called Fibercraft. And the reason we brought it into the market is twofold. One, when you look at metal fabrication production timelines, usually you're within 6 to 14 weeks, right, for batch production. With paper, we can do over 1,000 units a week. So there's a couple things. One, there's a cost savings. Rapid prototyping and iterative design are really important to Glass Media. Yeah. So when you talk to brands, historically it was all catalog driven, right? You had to pick SKU A, B, C, or D. But what happens if you want it to look different, a different color, a different height, a different size? Paper gives us the ability to make things very, very quick to figure out what a retailer really wants to do, right? And they can actually test it in a mock store, test in their corporate office, or put it in a store very quickly.
Well, and it's more adaptable, I guess, to different locales. Because you're a local company in that you're based, you know, Dallas, in North Dallas, but you operate all over the world.
Correct, yeah, we're doing stuff in Latin America right now, Europe, Asia. I mean, most of that's through channel partners that have distribution in those other countries. But, you know, yeah, North America is still really where we serve. The majority is the United States, then Canada. Latin America is a new opportunity we're really excited to capitalize on with lower cost solutions. And paper is one of those ones, right, where it's much more affordable than metal. It's highly scalable, yeah. And there's kind of a blue ocean for small format digital made out of something other than metal or wood.
Well, is this a crowded field? Do you have much competition? You have been doing, I mean, you started, Well, I guess you were working on this about a decade ago. I guess you really ramped it up, you know, much less than that. But is anybody else doing this?
Very little competition, honestly, in this space. So, you know, our niche is we're a design, engineering, and fabrication house, and we serve a lot of these AV integrators, right? We also build product for...
Wait, you've lost me. What's an AV integrator?
So basically an audio-visual company. So a company you hire to handle any of your digital signage needs.
Okay,
right?
So they're going to use your stuff, but they're going to do the solution.
Correct. And so a lot of them have operated off of catalogs for years, and they're always looking for the latest and greatest. So what happens, they're either asked to participate in an RFI, which is a request for information, or RFP.
Right.
Or they have a quarterly business review every quarter with a customer, and they're always looking for something to wow them, right? And oftentimes they don't have anything to bring to the table. So what we do is we have all these unique product lines that help them differentiate their own offerings and help speed up their time to close, right? So instead of having a 12 or 15 month sales cycle, our average time to PO right now is 105 days, so 3.5 months.
You know, the other thing I'm thinking as a consumer, if I'm walking through a store and sort of looking for something, my eyes are glancing everywhere and I'm looking for what I want or something that catches my eye. I would think if I see one of these, I'm going to have a little more dwell time, or I'm going to hover in one spot and look at your display. That's capturing me.
Correct. And you know, you also got to be cautious when you think about places like Times Square. So there's a notion of sensory overload, right? If you put too much digital in the store, it cannibalizes itself and you don't get anything. So it is this tasteful balance, right? Of how do you infuse digital, but not too much, right? How do you still keep the focus of the consumer, the customer, on the product itself, which is the reason they're there.
So let me go back where I began. Where it would seem like there's a very logical application for artificial intelligence here. Can you put a camera in one of these things, and so you see the person?
I'm very happy you brought that up. So I'll answer in two different ways. So yes, we're doing a lot with cameras. One is camera-based analytics. So we can actually look at consumers. We can look at pass-by, number of people, dwell time, even gender and emotional sentiment, which is interesting. At the same time, with artificial intelligence, we are working with companies that are now looking to do like virtual greeters, right? And with OpenAI and other platforms.
You know, I hadn't really thought about it. You know, what I was thinking about it is can this thing show me what I would look like wearing that suit that has just caught my eye?
So it can. There's companies in that space we can integrate with. Also, wayfinding is a big opportunity, right? So you get
remind
to
me what that is.
So it's basically optimizing people flow where you go. So you get to an airport and you want to know where the Centurion Lounge is.
Yeah, yeah.
Imagine if you can go to this kiosk and you just talk to it. Hey, where's the Centurion Lounge? And then it pulls up a map of you are here with a star. Here's a star Centurion Lounge. You need to walk, take the tram to Terminal 2, and it's next to Gate B24.
And that would seem like a lot. So is that now? Can you do that now, or is this something in the future?
No, you can do it right now. I think the challenge we see with most brands is they don't want to invest in what's called NRE, non-recurring engineering dollars. And so for some of these things that are a little bit more complicated, right, or a little bit more tailored to a particular brand or environment, no one can just build it for free. So even if our kiosk costs, let's just say $5,000, there might be $100,000 of R&D that needs to go into making this, you know, UI, UX and the seamless experience with integrations. And so what we find is a lot of the brands want the actual solution, but they're unwilling to invest in kind of the back end and the front end that's required.
So do you sell these machines or do you lease them?
Both of it. So we definitely sell them, but we have a partner named IFS Leasing that does a lot of our hardware leasing. So the amazing thing is, if you want to lease these for 3 years, 4 years, 5 years, as long as it's a scalable program, we can make a very affordable OpEx. So some of the solutions you saw in our office today start at less than $250 a month with zero down.
So you're still technically a startup, and I know you've gotten a lot of funding. I saw you've got a round of, $3 million here not that long ago. But what's the end game? Somebody's got to have approached you to buy you out. That you got this perfected.
Yeah, we were actually approached late last year. We ended up walking away from that offer. We're being courted by a bunch of companies. I think for us, it's really all about timing. So we're really just staying focused on product innovation, right? Staying ahead of the market. And if the right partner comes at the right time, and it seems like it's there's some real synergies there for long-term sustainable growth, we certainly might say yes to the write-off.
You know, you produce here, but also I know you produce in other countries, and you cross-ship. And this tariff thing is still in somewhat of a gray area, but clearly there are going to be higher tariffs than there have been. So has this affected your business?
So it hasn't. We were proactive to get out in front of it. You know, multi-shore production is something we've been doing for years. It's really just a calculation of who you're working with. So all of our Canadian customers, right, we're typically producing stuff in Mexico or China, right, and either shipping it or
going directly to Canada, not through the United States.
Correct. And then the same thing is, you know, you look at our procurement teams, we're always looking at where all our individual components are from, right, and how the tariffs impact our cost of goods sold. So. Yeah. Even if you're doing metal here and you're getting your screen here, if all your other things come from Asia, you know, your costs go up tremendously.
There used to be I guess they're still around, they're called free ports, right? If you could get materials out of Mexico, assemble them and make them here, but if you ship the finished product on to Canada, then you didn't pay U.S. tariffs along the way.
Yeah, so the government's getting a little bit smarter. Same thing as Apple, right? Sometimes it says, you know, designed in California, right? But it's made in China. I think the whole world right now, because of what's happening with tariffs, is just a little shaky, a little rocky, right? So for us, the more diversified we can be in our approach to both vendors and suppliers as well as production, the safer we'll be. And so that's really what we've done right now, and we're taking it week by week, to be honest.
Well, congratulations for, again, being named one of the fastest growing companies, according to the Inc. 5000 survey. All right, and you haven't hit level yet? You got to keep growing?
Yeah, we're going to keep growing. You know, growth is fun, but at the same time, because of how we were started in Dallas, so we started out of the Dallas Entrepreneur Center about a decade ago, when entrepreneurship was relatively new in
yep,
this city.
Yep, yep.
We grew organically, and so for us, we've learned to be very capital efficient. What that means is we've grown slower over the years, right? The average Series A now, I think, is $12 million that you typically are going to spend over, let's say, 12 to 18 months. So for us, we've reached that inflection point where we really have our core products, we have our core partners, and so growth now is still organic, but it's accelerating, you know, far past where we were.
You made it through several economic cycles, so you clearly are a survivor.
It's where all my gray hair is. I'm 36, and I got quite a bit of gray.
Daniel Black is the CEO and founder of Glass Media. It's good to spend some time with you.
Thanks so much for having me.
Thanks. For more of our conversation, go to krld.com/CEO. I'm David Johnson, News Radio 1080 KRLD.